بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقوم من الليل حتى تتفطر قدماه، فقلت له: لم تصنع هذا يا رسول الله وقد غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر؟ قال أفلا أحب أن أكون عبدا شكورا؟ متفق عليه. Continuing with the hadith, the discussion of which we began a few days ago, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, describing the night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand in tahajjud salah until his mubarak feet used to swell. So she said, observing this, I pleaded with him and I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, why do you exert yourself like this? What is the need for you to exert yourself like this when your maqam, your status is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all your past and your future sins? If you look at this observation of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she points to the special blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. It's part of our aqeedah, our belief, that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam had been given what we call the mantle of ismat. That is, they were protected, divinely protected, they were ma'asoom. That a Nabi will not break any command of Allah. A Nabi will not commit a sin. So this is part of our belief that every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala was sinless. And this is logical. Because Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, their actions, what they did, constituted shariat. That is, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many aspects of our deen, of our shariat, are dictated by the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if it was possible that a Nabi could make a sin, then na'uzubillah, that sin or that mistake or that error of that Nabi would constitute part of shariat. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that every one of them were ma'soom and sinless. So Aisha radiallahu anha, referring to this, she says, Ya Rasulullah, your position is such, غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر. Allah has already forgiven your past and your future sins. What is the need for you to exert yourself like this? So one explanation ulama kiram give of this, also this forgiveness, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find Allah had already forgiven him, and he would not make a sin. He was a Nabi. Yet he would make istighfar excessively. One hadith it comes, 100 times a day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So what is the reason for this? One explanation ulama kiram give, that Allah's status, Allah's maqam is such that it is impossible even for a Nabi in making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala to fulfill the haqq and the right of Allah. That is why we find this expression, ma abadanaka haqqa ibadati. That, oh Allah, we did not worship you as you ought to be worshipped. So this deficiency or this shortcoming that I have not served my Allah, I have not elevated my Allah, I have not recognized my Allah, I have not worshipped my Allah as Allah ought to be worshipped. That deficiency, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart used to consider it to be a sin. And for this he would seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another explanation ulama ikram give of this, they say that sometimes when we want to do something, we have two options. One is, one option is such that it is more virtuous. And the other one, whilst not being impermissible, it's permissible, but it is the less virtuous option. That is what we call khilaf-e-ula. That is, it's an option, it's permissible, but it is the less virtuous one. So sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt in his heart that in certain things, when I adopted the lesser road, this also he considered to be a sin. And he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And one other explanation ulama ikram give, there's a saying, they say, Inna hasanat al-abrar, Inna hasanat al-abrar, sayyatul muqarrabin. That the good deeds, the true, the muqarrabin, the true close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ta'alluq with Allah was such that sometimes what the pious or the ordinary obedient Muslim would regard to be a good deed in their eyes was like a sin. Like somebody met Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayhi, and they asked him that what is the nisab of zakat? What is the nisab of zakat? So he said, for you, for every 40 dirhams, you must give 1 dirham. That is 2.5% is the nisab of zakat. He said, for you, the nisab of zakat is that for every 40 dirham, you must give 1 dirham. And for me, the nisab of zakat is 40. For every 40 dirhams, I have to give 41 dirhams. So this person was confused. He says, I can understand the first part, that every 40 dirham, I must give 1 dirham, 2.5%. Why in your case 41 dirham? So he said, the 1 dirham is because of zakat, the nisab, and the other 40 dirham is a punishment for me, that why did I hoard so much dunya with me? Why did I allow 40 dirhams to accumulate by me? We find the Rasulullah, famous hadith, that he could not sleep the entire night because a little bit of money had been left by him that had not been given in sadaqah and charity. One occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained in the masjid until whatever money he had been distributed by Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. And to this he said that I did not want to leave the world. I did not want to leave the world. I did not want my mort to occur whilst anything of dunya is with me. So because of his status and his maqam, this is why, although it would have been permissible to accumulate wealth, halal wealth, it's permissible to accumulate. But even this Rasulullah ﷺ regarded as a sin. So we find, my respected brothers, that this observation of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Ya Rasulullah, why are you exerting yourself like this when Allah has forgiven all your past and your future sins? Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. Allah says in the Quran that, O my Nabi, we have given you an open and a clear cut victory, and all your past and future sins have been forgiven. Allah's love for his Habib, that Allah is saying to him, O my Nabi, you are sinless, you will not sin, but even should you sin, this is already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very fine point Ulama-i Kiram extract from this expression, that from this we learn, from this type of expression, that sometimes Allah has elevated certain people of this ummah. Allah has elevated certain people of this ummah, that because of some amal that they did, Allah has made them maghfirat. Through an amal, Allah has made the forgiveness of certain people. Example of this is the Sahaba of Badr. The Sahaba of Badr, we find their maqam and their status were such that one incident that occurred in the latter part of the Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make us understand what was the status of the Sahaba of Badr. There was one Sahabi by the name of Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Hudaybiyah, a truce was signed with the Quraysh of Makkah, which allowed Islam to spread. And part of this truce was that certain conditions were implemented, as a result of which it was decided, Rasulullah ﷺ agreed, that war will not take place with the people of Makkah. Thereafter, the Quraysh of Makkah broke certain agreements. They broke aspects of this truce. So Rasulullah ﷺ decided, because of this now, we are going to march in war against the people of Makkah, against the Quraysh of Makkah. Hatib bin Abi Balta, I'm cutting the incident very short, he had certain allegiances with the people of Makkah, and for certain reason, he wrote a letter which he dispatched with a woman to Makkah to forewarn the Quraysh that Rasulullah ﷺ intends marching against you, an army is coming from Madinah Munawwara. He wanted to forewarn them. So this, if you look at it, was an act of treason. And Allah Ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ what had occurred. So he dispatched Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and one other Sahabi. They pursued this woman, and finally they got hold of her in a place called Qum, in a valley of Qum. And they addressed her that, give us the letter that you have with you. She says, I don't have anything with me. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to her that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed me that you have a letter with you. Now either you hand this over to us, or we will search you, even if it means we have to remove your clothing, we will find this letter. So when this woman heard this and she realized the determination, it's mentioned in the riwayat that akhrajaha min al-khuf, from her leather socks she removed and she gave them this letter. In this letter was the warning which Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu had written to the people of Makkah to make them aware that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming with an army towards Makkah Mukarrama. When this letter was brought back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know his visage, his personality. Ya Rasulullah, give me permission, I'll take his head off. This is an act of treason. But look at the response, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar, Ama alim, that Umar, innahu min ahli Badr. This is a Badri sahabi. Hatib bin Abi Balta is a Badri sahabi.
And don't you know, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah looked at the Sahaba that took part in Badr and Allah said, from now till you die, do whatever you want to do, Allah has already forgiven you. So we find that certain individuals of this ummah, Allah elevated them, that their maghfirat was made through certain amal. In the case of these Sahaba, their participation in the battle of Badr was that amal by which Allah elevated them, that Allah made their maghfirat on the basis of that. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that it was said to them, Jannat is now wajib, do whatever you want, Allah has already forgiven you. Allah.